Welcome to Coffee with Catholic Workers, a podcast made by and for Catholic workers. I'm Theo.
And I'm Lydia. We've both been a part of the Catholic Worker for the last decade, and we're excited to bring to you conversations with different Catholic workers around the world.
This week, we're talking to Alex about her journey out to the Los Angeles Catholic Worker before returning to start a Catholic Worker in her hometown of Elizabeth, New Jersey.
All right, and now here's Alex.
All right, Alex, welcome to Coffee with Catholic Workers. So excited to have you with us. To get the ball rolling, could you tell us, how did you find your way to the Catholic Worker movement and then eventually to New Jersey to start a Catholic Worker there?
Okay, so it all started, I guess I first heard about the Catholic Worker movement. It was my senior year in college, and I was in like some elective classes, and one of the elective classes I took was Western religions. And my professor, she was a Quaker. So for the little bit that we talked about Catholicism and like Catholicism in America, she had us read a book about Dorothy Day. And at the time I was in school to be a journalist, I was kind of already on my way of like self-radicalization, like becoming an anarchist. And I was Catholic, you know, and I was kind of trying to get deeper and deeper into my faith. So I remember seeing it and being like, wow, this is really cool. I was looking at different, you know, different like things to do after college. Fast forward a year, I'm working like three jobs. I'm working as a freelance journalist, and I'm going to school at a seminary. I'm at Seton Hall Seminary, just kind of not knowing what I'm doing myself, right? Like I'm riding like four buses a day, and I'm like, I'm in New Jersey, and I'm like, yo, I want to get out of here. And then I remember about the Catholic Worker movement. So I look up different houses, and instead of going to New York, which is like 10 miles away from where I'm at, I'm like, you know, I always wanted to go to Los Angeles. And, you know, I wanted to get out the cold. The cold was killing me. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to hit them up and see if I can go. And they eventually got back to me. And some months later, I was at the LA house. And then how I got here from there, after living there for about 3 years, I think I came back to Jersey for a year. So like three, 4 years later, I was back visiting in New Jersey, and I was kind of confused what I wanted to do. And so I visited the New York house, St. Joe's in, you know, New York City. And I was just, you know, volunteering with them for the day while I was visiting the East Coast for 2 weeks. And one of the people there, he told me, he knew the city I was from, Elizabeth, and he was like, yo, there's this lady that's coming here every day, like every week, and she's from Elizabeth. She's trying to start a Catholic Worker in Elizabeth. And I was like, oh my gosh, like somebody's gonna start a Catholic Worker in my hometown. Mind you, on this visit back home, I didn't want nothing to do with Elizabeth, New Jersey. Everybody that I knew there, everybody was doing the same things. Nothing was happening. It was just, I didn't want to go back there. I knew if I was gonna leave LA, I would go to like maybe New York or something. But to hear that they were trying to start one where I'm from, you know, it was kind of like, wait, how could I not be a part of that? So I had to go back to LA, and I didn't get in touch with the woman that he was speaking about until I was back in LA. When I finally did, I started talking to her. She was Erica Rodriguez, people in the Catholic Worker movement that may know her. Her and her husband were starting, you know, making the starts to start one in Elizabeth. They're originally from Staten Island. So we spoke for a while, and then before I knew it, with the blessing of the LA Catholic Worker, I was back in New Jersey, you know, trying to make this Catholic Worker thing work, you know.
So what did that look like? What did you and Erica start doing?
Oh wow. So, you know, it was very grassroots is like that's not even enough. It's like dirt and concrete almost, right? So I'm living with very meagerly with her husband and her two kids in a two-bedroom apartment. And so we just started whatever way we could, right? So we started just making food and pop it up in different places in Elizabeth to pass out food on the street. We did weekly go to the ICE detention center in Elizabeth. That was something that we wanted to do every Wednesday, you know. But within that time, so many things happened. Like, we didn't have a set schedule. Mind you, her and her husband, they're the parents of two very young children at the time, a one-year-old and a three-year-old. So And then also the idea with me, I'm like, we're going to raise this money. We're going to get a house. It's not that easy. It's very hard, you know, especially because pricing, like housing and rent and everything has gone up exponentially everywhere, I'm sure, in the country. But in this part of the country, like gentrification is happening. Like in the 4 or 5 years I've been out here back home, it's been wild the way everything has raised, housing costs, rent, mortgage, everything. So eventually I stayed with them for 7 months. We kind of had different visions of the whole thing. So I ended up moving out. I ended up starting to be a bartender. That was not in my plans. My plans was, no, I'm never going to work on the books. It was off the books anyway, but I was never going to work a regular job again. But, you know, her husband had got hurt. She started working. I started working to help them out. And then it just seemed like it made more sense for me to move out. So I moved out. And technically, we were on the town next to Elizabeth. We weren't in Elizabeth. So I moved out. I got my own little studio apartment in Elizabeth. And they, you can hear their story from them. You know, they eventually started their own Catholic Worker in Pennsylvania. And then I think they're now in Virginia at a Catholic Worker. But me, I had my one friend, Lynn. I think you met her, Theo. A friend of mine that I've known since I was about 12 years old. She started helping me every week. And we served food for a year on the street, you know, the same day every week. I think it was Sundays originally. And then eventually we got a spot. We got a spot that was on top of the storefronts. So it's a very populated place out here. You know, people live and like there's commercial and residential together, but this is like the most commercial place in the city, like the main street. And so we had got a spot on top of the storefronts. And we had that for a while. That was like a big, you know, like a big deal. It's still not the same as having an actual hospitality house. I did move in there at one point because it just made more sense to instead of having two rents. And then COVID happened, right? So COVID's happening and I was a little freaked out by it. I'm not going to lie, because I'm like, yo, all these people live on the street. If I'm having them come upstairs, what if I get sick? What if I give them something? Oh, and by this point, I started working at the hospital. I started working on a hospital unit that is behavioral health. It's I work at a hospital unit that has 15 beds for teenagers with behavioral issues. So it's a wide range, you know, but I'm with these kids every day. And worked throughout COVID. So it was like, yo, what if I get one of these people sick? At the beginning of COVID, I feel like nobody really knew, right? So it was like, oh, if you're 6 feet from somebody, you're going to give it to them and there's nothing you could do. Like it was very like, and then you weren't supposed to have people inside of places. So I was like, I don't want to get in trouble. Should I keep this spot? Should I not keep this spot? Eventually, we closed it down. So from there, we never stopped serving throughout COVID, but we were back on the street for a year. And then eventually after that, we started renting a storefront spot, which we use now, but it's a shared space that we rent once a week. And their rent is going up. So Tuesday, we're actually going to look at getting our own spot again. But I know that was a lot, but yeah.
So that's quite the journey, going from like this reading about a theoretical knowledge of Dorothy Day to jumping right into the LA Worker, which is sort of its whole thing. And then like this contrast of doing it kind of not on your own, but with a very, very small group of people, which is very different from the LA Worker. Maybe could you share a little bit about like the things that you learned or found meaningful while you were in LA, and maybe compare that a little bit to the things that you now are learning and finding meaningful in Elizabeth.
Yeah, I'm a strong believer that you can't replicate the same thing everywhere, right? You can't, different communities have different needs, right? But I did leave LA with an idea with, this is how we do it, right? This is how it's done. And from the start, it was not like that, right? Like the idea that, okay, we need a house. Right, we need a house, or at least to rent a place to live and let people shelter people. That was the goal for a while. It's still the goal, but I had to find out that like we don't have to do it exactly like anybody else. The core things that I took from LA is feeding people. Make sure people eat. Right, make sure that we got the food for people to eat. We do a little bit different. We clothe people too. Our clothing is big. Keeping things nonviolent, never involving the police in issues, right? That's always been a big thing, like making sure that whatever space we use, it's police-free as much as we could. De-escalation. try to be a part of activism as much as we can, but not as much as out there. Things that are different. Oh, another thing from LA, the structure. I do feel like it is good to have a structure. So it's always been important to, we serve at this time on this day, even though it's changed, we went from once a week to twice a week, so now we're back to once a week. But to just give people that stability, you know, to know that we're always going to be here, you know? So like we serve on Mondays. We served on Christmas last week. We're serving tomorrow. Like as long as like the space we rent, as long as they're able to be open, which they are, we're going to be there, you know, to just have that stability. So that's something that I thought was important. And then things that are different, like I said before, almost everything, right? When I was in LA, I used to sometime, and I don't know if you guys can, relate to this. I always was like, yo, if I had my own Catholic worker, I would do it this way, or I would do it that way, right? So once I got it, yeah, so I do have certain things that are important to me. Like I could, since I cook almost all the food, I can kind of experiment with food a lot, or like, even though I try to keep the basics just to make sure that everybody can be fed. But at the same time, you kind of learn when you are on, doing it on your own, or, you know, like with outside of that group, you understand why people do things a certain way. You could be like, yeah, I don't want to do this if I had my own one. But then you're like, nah, this makes so much sense with why you have to keep certain structures to keep things going, you know? But yeah, it's different. It's real different. Kind of how Theo said before, working. It wasn't my plan to be working, you know, but I mean, to stay afloat and to, you know, we get a good amount of donations. Like we get enough donations to pay for the food and like we get clothes donations and stuff like that. And then the rent of the place we use. But if I was to quit my job, would I be able to be keeping a roof over my head type situation, you know? And sometimes I do think like, maybe I should just quit. I'm kind of in the process of becoming a substitute teacher now. So I am kind of going to work less, but like, if I just quit completely and just threw myself just all the way into Catholic worker, should I just like, is that me just being faithful, like believing in God, like God, whatever, if this is meant to happen, I'm gonna be good. If not, I'm gonna be on the street, you know? Like, so, I mean, so am I not having that faith? I don't know. I guess I just kind of, I just want to be safe, I guess, you know? So right now we have a couple, I'll say it's like maybe two of us that are like Catholic workers. And then we have a strong amount of, a good amount of regular volunteers, like steady. We've had steady volunteers in different waves throughout this whole thing. But we've had a couple now for a couple of years that it's been working out.
I think that tension between, okay, like working and not working is always interesting to see how different houses have that play out, which some houses are very strict on terms of like how much someone can work or how many hours they can't. And then others swing the other way. My house, currently everybody works, well, except for me, actually, everybody else works full time. And so that's often very different from the experience of other houses. But it's, I feel like it's an interesting piece. There's a conversation happening on the Catholic Worker Facebook page, looking at like aging in the Catholic Worker. And that's actually, I think, an interesting piece to look at as well, and thinking about work and providing that stability, roof over your head.
Like I said, it wasn't in the book, like it wasn't in the cards for me to ever be working a whole full-time job again, but that's what happened, you know. And I've been kind of lucky with the job I'm at now, which I'm looking at going part-time, and I'm going to try to start subbing, so that'll give me a lot more free time to do stuff with the Catholic Worker, maybe extend to going back to serving twice a week. But my job, I've been kind of lucky, because of the work I do, I've been able to, a couple of times, because I work with teenagers, a couple of times I've had them come volunteer, where kids that finished the program came back and volunteered. It's not always the easiest thing, because then that means I got to watch the kids, watch everybody else, make sure the kids aren't doing nothing or fighting, and then make sure that the people aren't fighting, you know? So that's a whole thing itself. That's why it's only happened like once. But donations, when we go on like clothes, like large clothes donations, I'm able to use the work van and take a couple kids with me, and, you know, looks good for the job because the kids are doing, you know, some of these kids have, you know, serious charges. So it looks good on them that they're doing some community work. And it's good for me because I can get a whole bunch of stuff at once in a work van. You know, we don't have a van. I have a small car that's pretty filled with supplies and donations at any time. But so that's worked out a lot. Or like, let's say I got to go get the restaurant supply store to go get more plates or to go boxes and this and that. I almost exclusively go when I'm on the clock. So, oh, and also in the past year, they needed help on overnights on Sunday nights. And I was like, well, if I could work overnight Sunday night and use your big kitchen to do all the cooking, sign me up. So now every other Sunday I work at the job and I just make basically all the food, bring it home, you know, when I clock off, take a nap, wake back up, finish cooking. And then, so I've kind of made it, I'm fortunate enough that I work a job that gives me a little leeway to get things done. You know, I guess that's the only thing that's a little rough sometimes, just having enough time for getting everything done.
What are you cooking on the clock at your other job? What should I expect if I come to dinner at the Elizabeth, New Jersey Catholic Worker? Paint a picture.
Okay, so there's some variations. At this time of the year right now, every other week I'm making soup. So if it's a Sunday where I'm not working, which is like today, tomorrow, I'm making a soup, right? I'm making a soup. Something I took from the LA house was always have a salad. We always have salad. People love salad. I use balsamic vinaigrette because everybody loves that. It's a little different. And bread. I try to do that soup, salad, bread. On a day that's like I'm cooking at my job, it's not good transporting soup more than you have to. I've transported stuff and messed my car up pretty bad a couple times. So I'll do like a beans with beef or like beans with chicken and rice and a salad, bread. If it's the summertime, instead of doing soup every other week, I do like a pasta salad every other week with like chicken in it. And then of course with like salad on the side and bread, and cause it's hot, you know, it's hot and it's easy to make that. It's easy to put that up. It's a cool thing for people to eat. Sometimes during winter too, I'll make some type of a pasta with either chicken or with beef. I try to always have a meat. Tomorrow is going to be the first day in like, I don't know, maybe like a year or two that I'm not cooking meat. I figure it's the first of the year. We're doing like a lentil soup. But for the most part, I try to have a meat. Rice and beans is always easy because I can easily, even if it's a night that I work and I sleep during the day, I can wake up and make two trays at least of rice and we're usually good, you know? So it's a variation of meat, beans, rice, salad, or right now since it's winter, soup, salad, bread. It's important to me to be, in my mind, nutritious and delicious. That's in my mind, yeah.
So I think, you know, a lot of people in thinking about the Catholic worker get really intimidated by it. Because it feels like you have to do all these things, like housing people, starting with like this full house of hospitality and doing all these aspects of it. What sort of advice would you have for people who want to be involved in the Catholic worker but don't know how to get started?
I think the easiest thing, first off, is if you live near a Catholic worker, if you're in a city that has one, volunteer. I mean, I understand how it could be intimidating to just like go down, you don't know nobody, you know, but I think most Catholic workers could use a hand in one way or another, you know. But also, if you're somebody like me that's kind of taking a plunge to try to start one, I would say the biggest thing that I had to learn was all Catholic workers don't have to look alike. Almost none do, you know, they can have different missions. They can do different work, may have the same mission, but carry it out in different ways. You know, like I said, when I started, I thought we needed a house and we needed to serve food and, you know, and it was almost, I felt like I was failing in the first year or two because I didn't have, you know, these things. But if you look at the whole movement, there's so many different things. There's food distros, there's childcare, there's farms, there's houses, there's houses where they rent out houses to people, or they're not even in the house. They're letting people live in the house. Like there's so many different ways that this work is done. And I think as long as you understand like the truest mission of the movement, you know, helping people, you know, anti-war, anti-nuke, all these things, you know, then as long as that's your goal in mind, you have to find out what works for your community. What's the people in your community? What is their need? You know, because that's the biggest thing at the end of the day. And I don't know, as a person, as an anarchist, and how I believe in making anarchism work is every community has different needs. What's going on in Chicago is not the same that's happening in New Jersey or Hawaii, you know? So what is the needs of your community? What's gonna benefit them the most?
You mentioned anarchism just a second ago there, Alex. And one thing I love about you, for full disclosure, we lived together for a little while at the LA Worker, is that you are like a anarchist, like kind of hardcore person, but you're pretty into the Catholic thing. Like you said, that's what drew you into it in the first place. And for folks who are like unfamiliar with like the intersection of those things, who might be confused like about the relationship between holding Catholicism and holding anarchism, can you speak to that just a little bit and what it means to you and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see how people could see those things as contradictory because of the hierarchy that is within Catholicism. But I really just say that my politics influence my religion, and my religion or my faith influence my politics. You know, I wouldn't be one without the other. Because at the end of the day, I feel like living out my morals, my principles is all I really try to do, you know? So for me, I think Catholic social teaching is very important and influential on what I believe when it comes to anarchism. I also believe, you know, if you read the Bible, a lot of it is, you know, we're told again and again that allegiance to the state is not the best thing. You know, a lot of bad things happen when you have allegiance to the state. So that, you know, that helps me with that. And just about taking care of each other at the end of the day. I live out my anarchist beliefs by helping other people and other people helping me. But the fact that we don't need the state, we don't need the government, you know, we can do this ourselves if we care about each other. And in my mind, to really have anarchism work, you have to be communal. You have to be communal in some way. If we look at places in the world where it is working, like these different Kurdish communities, like Rojava, like it's working because it's communal, you know? And my beliefs, what did Jesus say? You know, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, you know, shelter the homeless, visit the imprisoned. To me, it makes a lot of sense. And I can understand how somebody could say, no, it doesn't make sense. But to me, in my mind, my faith, what I practice, I feel like I'm practicing my faith, my religion the most when I'm coming in a way that's anarchistic, you know? So on our card that we pass out, because we that's kind of like how we let people know we don't really have a newspaper or anything, it says anarchistic mutual aid. And so it sparks a lot of conversations, even with people that we're serving food to sometimes, you know? So yeah, to me, I feel like if I want to be a good Catholic, I can't have allegiance to this state, especially where we live, you know, the empire, the United States. I can't have allegiance to the state that's killing people. I can't have allegiance to the state that's funding genocide. I can't have allegiance to the state that so many people are starving and homeless here. You know what I'm saying? How could I have allegiance to that? How can I pay taxes to that? How can I, in any type of way, you know? And if I'm doing that, is that idolatrous? I think in this country, I mean, I'm sure nationalism in a lot of countries is idolatrous, but especially here, if I'm, you know, saluting a flag, if I'm putting the country as the first thing over my God, you know, then to me, it goes hand in hand. And then I think in the Catholic Worker movement, if we look at Dorothy Day, if we look at Peter Moore, and if we look at a lot of different people, I think they share similar beliefs.
So you mentioned that brings up a lot of interesting conversations. How has this been received in the community?
So like the community at large, I think we've been okay. I think where I am, like our city, City of Elizabeth in New Jersey, where we are, there's not a lot of pushback. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've been fortunate. Even when we were on the street, there's like cops don't really mess with us too much. One time we were serving on the street and the cops stopped right in front of us. I'm like, oh, what's happening? And they were like, hey, yo, did you see somebody running? Somebody got stabbed. And we're like, we didn't see anything. And they're like, okay. They didn't really care what we were doing besides that. I mean, trying to function with churches helping us out, not the easiest thing. Not too many, other than maybe once or twice, somebody donated some clothes or something. Aside from that, we try to take part in different activist things going on locally. In the past year, our city had still has a rent cap, like how much you can raise rent, and it used to be no higher than 20%. No, 20%, $20 a year, which was great, right? So in the past year, they were trying to end it. So we kind of got together with a lot of the other groups that were going to these meetings again and again. I spoke a couple times. I knew a couple people on the board, the city council, because two of them from school, like one was my principal in elementary school. One of them was a TA in my high school. So I called them out. One of them changed their vote. And then it still came out to they raised it. So now it's 3%. Of whatever your rent is, which is significantly different than $20, you know. But anyways, just different things. And so there's a couple different groups that we meshed with a little bit. But as far as pushback, we've been pretty lucky. You know, there's not been really no hard pushback against us. Most people just look at us as, oh, they're just serving food. So, you know, it's not really too big of a deal.
You've mentioned gentrification a couple times. Even has that been a thing you've really been able to notice, even in just a few years you've been there in Elizabeth doing the Catholic Worker?
Yeah, definitely. It's crazy because I thought gentrification would never come to Elizabeth or Newark. Newark is like the city right next to us, and they're the biggest city in the state. And so I thought there would never be gentrification here. You know, they're kind of like, who wants to live here? Kind of a mindset, you know. But this whole area of New Jersey is being gentrified. But I first started seeing it happen in Newark, you know, and then Elizabeth. We have so many luxury buildings now. There's so many people that can't afford to live here. You know, everywhere you look, they're making a luxury building, right? The hospital I was born in was abandoned for years. It's a luxury it's a luxury apartments now, you know, and then just all these different places that are kind of catering to that idea. And what it is for most as I can see, is it's people coming from New York City. New York City is so expensive. We got a train right here. We have two train stations. We have multiple buses that go into the city. So if you are somebody that is not even maybe from New York, maybe you're just like, you lived there for a few years for work, it's getting expensive. Oh, let me move to Jersey. It's slightly cheaper and I can take the bus. I can take the train. It's very easy. So it's making everything go crazy. And as a person that was looking for houses, like, it's always been my goal, save enough money, maybe get a mortgage. We could get a house. We could do this, you know? At one point I was looking, like, going and seeing houses and stuff like that. The average house from when I first got here for, like, you know, a house that maybe needs some help, maybe 200,000-300,000, to now you're not seeing nothing under 600,000. And I'm talking about not a good neighborhood, needs some work. Like, it's wild, you know. And then rent has gone up exponentially. So it's happening heavy here. Like I said, I never thought it would. As much as it's happening in Elizabeth, I think it's happening worse in Newark. So people are getting displaced. People are for a while moving to PA because PA is supposed to be cheaper, but now it's getting expensive there too. There's people that come and serve, that I serve food to, that I know personally from when I was younger. You get what I'm saying? People in my age range. There's a young man that come and gets food from us that was in my program that I work at. Like, my main job, he was in the program a couple years before I started. So, like, it's wild, you know, just seeing people getting displaced. And they say that the housing market's going to crash in 2024. I don't know. I mean, I'm a little hopeful. I mean, I don't want to hurt nobody, but it'd be nice to get a cheap house, you know? But yeah, it's wild. Like I said, I never thought it would happen. And then even another crazy thing, where I work, my job is, it's kind of like the area called Midtown, not the best area. They manufactured a gated street between these two streets where nothing was there but a lot. So these houses are like almost $1 million each. It's like a row of these houses, and they're all being rented. Nobody's buying these houses. So they're buying them and renting them, I guess. But it's just like, it's in an area, it's between two streets. One of the streets is called South Park Street. It's a rough street, right? It's always been a rough street. And they built a gated community. Like, it's just, it's wild. Like, if I never came back to Jersey when I did, and then, like, let's say I just came to visit right now, I would not recognize any of this. I would not recognize it because it's wildly different.
So you mentioned the dream. The dream still is maybe one day to have a house. What would your dream Catholic worker look like? And maybe, I don't know, if we get in contact with you in 5 or 10 years, what would your hopes and dreams be?
Yeah, so like the goal has always been to get a house. And it still is. I mean, but I'm not crying at night if I don't have it. If it turns out different, if we are able to rent something, it, you know. But yeah, ideally a house where, man, I know at least 5 people that are regulars that I've known for 5 years that I would put in there right now, you know? And then it, you know, it would be good to have a space where a couple of us could not have to rent no more for, you know, people that work it, like me, Theo, I know you know Bryant. It'd be cool if we could just have a spot we could live there and maybe a couple other people. Or also offer if somebody wants to come and check out the Elizabeth Catholic Worker for a while, like a lot of houses do. I've had multiple people contact me saying, hey, can I come and work with you guys and stay with you guys? And I'm like, I have 1-bedroom apartment, or like I have a studio apartment. Like, I don't, you want to stay on a couch? Maybe, you know? But yeah, so in my mind, it would be a place where we could house at least a few people. If we could serve food out of it, that would be awesome too, you know? And looking at different places, you know, because then you don't have to worry about another rent of a whole nother place. I mean, so that would be cool. A space where people could, if people had them organized for things, that would be awesome. I know so many local artists, you know, people that I grew up with. It would be, I've always had in my mind, well, we have a mural to this person or about that person. We have a mural here. Like, it's just stuff that's been in my mind for the longest. So the biggest thing, though, of course, is housing people, getting people off the street. You know, sometimes I feel like guilty that I'm inside and somebody else isn't, you know? So, like, the biggest thing, and I've done some work to try to get some people temporary housing. So, we've got a couple people off the street, but it's not the same, you know? So, the biggest thing would be housing people, really. You know, feeding is awesome, and that's what we do now, feeding and clothes and stuff like that, toiletries sometimes, but housing people would be the biggest goal. And I miss community, too. I do, like, as nice as it's gotten, staying by myself, I'm not gonna lie, there's bad parts of living communally, but sometimes I do miss community. There's been a couple of times where I'm like, maybe I should just stop this and just go join a different Catholic worker community where it's not all on my shoulders so much. I mean, it's not all on my shoulders right now, but to a degree, you know? So it'd be nice to be in a whole community again, but, you know, maybe one day.
You know, I'm starting a Catholic worker in St. Louis with some folks, so I'm hoping the real estate market crashes too a little bit. Probably not as bad as Jersey, though.
It's wild here. I think this is one of the most expensive places in the country. It's because, like I said, the proximity to New York City, you know, and our taxes are crazy high here.
One of the only reasons we got our place here in Chicago is because we were coming out of the last market crash. I mean, everything is about 3 times more expensive than it was. So what else should we know about you, Alex, or the Elizabeth Catholic Worker, things that we haven't asked about yet that could be interesting?
I don't know. How something interesting. I think there's like a cool camaraderie and maybe this is a everywhere thing, but there's a cool camaraderie about like the people we serve and us, you know, it's because, you know, me personally, like, I'm from this city. So there's like I feel like a deeper connection, you know, like I said, I see people that I grew up with come by, you know, I see people that when I was bartending, you know, come by, you know, so it's a deep connection. We hang out, we play music sometimes, you know. There's been a couple of regulars that come and get food from us. Sometimes we go play pool afterwards, you know. Last Monday we played the game. There's a TV set in the place that we rent. So I was like, can we play the game on here? And she was like, yeah. You know, there's kind of a feud between a couple of us with football teams, you know. So sometimes that can get a little intense, you know. But yeah, I guess that's kind of different, you know. It's been a little rough, you know, something that's been a little rough for me is I'm not the most charismatic person, you know, and so I can fit into a community kind of easily, like doing the work or whatever, but like being that person to be like, hey, you know, especially with getting donations and stuff, like I think it's good to have that personality. I think if you guys look at any Catholic workers you've been in, you could say, okay, this person is the kind of charismatic person. This person does this, that person. It's good to have all those things. So it's been a little rough on me to try to wear multiple hats, you know? And then also going from, well, I'm the one doing this primarily to, I'm not the leader. I don't want to be a leader, you know what I'm saying? So delegating different things to different people, like, hey, do you want to do this? Can you do that? Or even like certain things, like, that's their side, like clothes. Like, I know for a while Brian liked to do the clothes thing. I said, that's all you. Whatever your decision about those things is, you do that, you know? So it's kind of hard when, you know, it's my baby. I feel like the Catholic worker here is my baby, but it's not all me. And that helps. It's like you get a weight off your shoulder, you know? So I guess that's, I don't know how many other Catholic workers are like this small of a community, you know? So I guess that's different. And then just, I don't know. To me, like, I do really believe like this is mutual aid, because personally, me, I've been down and out. I've been no place to stay, and I've always had somebody look me out, especially in this community. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've had that. So I feel like this is just, I don't want to use the word giving back, but it's kind of like a circular thing, you know? There's people that that come and get food from us that give so much. There's this one gentleman that has been coming, hit me up today. He's been coming for all 5 years, right? When we didn't have a table and we were just serving off of benches outside, he brought me a table. Out of nowhere, he found a whole bunch of nice pots. We use these pots for soup still today. Actually, he's hitting me up today because he found something else. He's a very resourceful gentleman. You know what I'm saying? Always finding different things. So there's been multiple different things that have been brought to us just from people that we serve, you know? Or people will come and get food and get clothes, and then out of nowhere, they want to help. So now they're part. There's a woman that had started by just coming and getting stuff, and now she's with us almost a year or two, you know? And she's a feisty Ecuadorian lady, you know, doesn't speak English, but she's the front of the food line. She regulates everything, like, oh, wait, no, don't do this, don't do that. She gets a little feisty with people, you know? Some of us call her abuela, so like, you know, but she's a huge help. She does so much, you know, and she was just a person that was coming by, you know. So incorporating people that were coming maybe just to get food or clothes at that one point, and now they're such a big part of what we do, you know. So I think that's very important. As a, we all need help, you know. A lot of my clothes, this shirt I'm wearing right now, came from a donation. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all take stuff, you know. We all eat, unless the food runs out, which is probably one of our biggest hurdles sometimes. A lot of times food does run out, and trying to make enough food, you know, we all eat off this, you know.
I think about how much of the things that you just said would sort of be like taboo in a nonprofit, you know, or would be even looked down upon, like, oh, you're like stealing donations, or, you know, you're crossing boundaries by going and playing pool or doing things with clients. And I think that's what's so, I don't know, special and meaningful about the Catholic worker, the idea of mutual aid or personalism, and the ways that it fits so well together, like mutual aid within the Catholic worker, and this idea that, no, we actually all are in this together.
Yeah, I think it's a beautiful thing, but I will also say that there are setbacks to, and you guys know, I'm sure any Catholic worker knows that's listening to this, there's setbacks to not being a nonprofit, right? So donations, some people might not want to donate to you. Recently, we have this huge food bank. It's like the food bank of New Jersey, not that far from us, like literally the border of Elizabeth and Hillside. And I've been there before, like, you know, community service stuff back in the day. And I was like, you know what? I'm finally going to contact them and see if we could get some food. If you're not a 501(c), whatever you do, and then the paperwork you have to fill out, you have to show that you have like a food handling certificate and this and that. And then I was like, I'm not even. And so I know that some Catholic workers do become nonprofits, some don't. I've been trying to stick with the tradition of not becoming one. But, you know, now looking at stuff, like, there are certain things that it would make it easier. But of course, there'd be things that would make it harder. You know, I think there's a whole bunch of check and balances. I'm not sure exactly when you do become a nonprofit. So, I mean, it's nice that we're not, and we're surviving that we're not. But at the same time, I do see why, how it could be helpful if we were. But I don't know. I like to think of it as more mutual aid and not charity, you know. Because like I said, we all eat off this. all helping each other. And if that wasn't, if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't even be working. When we bring the food in, everything is loaded by just people that are there, you know? People just running out and saying, hey, can I help, you know? Everything gets loaded like that. So a lot of people play a lot of different parts, you know? But that's building community.
Well, we're getting close to time. Do you have any final thoughts for us here, Alex?
I'm just going to say it's been a lot of ups and downs. You know, there's been in the past, I guess it's been 5 years. It was 2018 when I came out here. In the past, you know, 5 years of doing this work, there's been a lot of ups and downs. There's been a lot of times I was like, I'm leaving. I'm done. I'll go back to California. You know, I could do that. But I stayed par for course, and it's worked out, you know? So anybody that's doing this work, either they're trying to start one, like, you know, like you are, or somebody that's been at a community that's been there 60 years, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. There's going to be days that you see very bad things happening to the people that you work with, and it's going to hurt, and it gets rough. It gets rough, but I think that, kind of like what Dorothy said, you know, community and whatnot, it's how we combat the long loneliness, you know. So you just gotta believe in what you're doing. And at the end of the day, like I said, I believe in what I'm doing. I feel like what I'm doing is me living out my faith and me living out my political beliefs. So as crazy as the world is getting right now, I feel like even if I can't make it to every protest, even if I can't go across the world and be a fighter or something like that, you know, like, well, you know what I'm trying to say, or a paramedic or whatever, I feel like me being part of this movement is helping, you know, it is helping, and it is me, even when I sometimes say, I'm a bad person that does good things, you know, because people always go like, I'm sure you guys have said, oh, you're such a good person, oh my gosh, what you do, you're a saint. I'd be like, no, I'm just a bad person that does good things, trying to make my way, you know, to heaven or something like that.
Well, thanks so much, Alex, for being willing to talk to us and share your story. Really appreciate it.
Oh, if I could say one last plug. If anybody wants to donate, I could be reached by, we're on Instagram, the Elizabeth New Jersey Catholic, the Elizabeth NJ Catholic Worker, Facebook, the Elizabeth NJ Catholic Worker, email njcw@riseup.net. There's a million ways. We're on the website for the Catholic Worker, the numbers up there, if anybody, the PO box to send donations. I just figured I'd, you know, throw that in there. But yeah.
Wonderful.
And have a happy and safe year.
Thanks. You too. Thanks for talking to us.
I was really excited to get to bring Alex onto the podcast here. She is actually the only Catholic worker when I was doing my virtual Catholic worker tours earlier this year online that I made sure to feature every time because it gets asked in the online Catholic worker sphere, like, often, how can I live a Catholic worker life without moving into a big house in maybe another city, you know, and giving up everything, you know, seemingly giving up everything in my personal life. And folks really struggle with that because they're drawn to the beautiful things of the movement, but like are not ready to take a huge plunge into community life. And so a lot of folks ask this question, and I like that Alex exists because I can kind of point to Alex and I can say, let me tell you about the Elizabeth, New Jersey Catholic Worker. Alex works a full-time job. She and just a couple of friends started cooking food and serving it in their spare time, and all kinds of people could be doing that if they want to.
And I think it is this nice distinction or point that you don't have to have a house to be doing the works of mercy, that there's a lot more, like, yeah, well, yes, community is a huge part of the Catholic worker, You can build community without living together. And that is just one aspect of the Catholic worker. I think there's also this very practical piece of, especially now, a lot of people can't get a house. It's just not feasible with the way the market is often right now, to be able to purchase a physical building to be able to do some of the more traditional Catholic worker housing. But that's no reason to be stopped from being a Catholic worker.
Yeah, and that was another interesting piece for me personally, having this conversation with Alex, because me and some friends are starting a Catholic worker in St. Louis, and we're going to hear from them on an episode too. But just Alex was talking about, you know, while I love this example and love to hold it up, she was like, this wasn't really the plan either. You know, she was like, I did want to buy a house, and she still does, you know, but it's just not how it worked out for a variety of reasons. But that she was like still committed to doing a Catholic worker project and made it happen and is making it happen. And it was just like a refreshing reminder to me or something as we are undergoing this new Catholic worker process that, like, you don't know what's going to happen. And like, we're going to have to like roll with what's going on. And maybe you think you're going to get a house and then you don't. Maybe you think you're going to zig, but you got to zag. And so yeah, I admire that too, of her commitment to it, even in changing or not perfect ideal circumstances.
I appreciate too the flexibility and perhaps the need that we have to sort of widen an understanding of like what aspects what the Catholic worker can look like. So I think there is this piece where sometimes it's viewed as a fad or a phase, and that it has to look a certain way, which oftentimes just is not practical for people on a long-term scale. I mean, I think there's a beauty in living in the traditional sort of format of it, and that it's needed, but it doesn't. That's not always something that works for everybody in every stage of their life.
Yeah, and in recent years, I've been trying to like expand what we talk about as like being a Catholic worker in certain ways. I think when I was new and I was very excited about the movement, not that I'm not still very excited about the movement, but I think I felt like, oh, I found like something really unique and special. And in many ways, I still do feel that. But like, you know, with a little bit of time and maybe just experience and maybe wisdom, like nowadays I'm more apt to talk about like, yeah, living in a house with a bunch of other people, like that's a thing that a lot of people in this world do, you know. And just because like we're middle class people, many of us coming from a background of that in the movement, like doing it doesn't mean it's like so special or cool. And that like extends to like work that's happening too. Like the grandma on the block who takes care of the kids so that like mom can go to work or whatever. Like she's not calling herself a Catholic worker, but like, you know, she's doing that mutual aid kind of support to like make survival under capitalism possible for people. And so like we should think of her as like doing the Catholic worker too, you know. And we could name a million examples, but yeah, I and we need to be like, because not everyone can be going and living at a official house of hospitality, like I think we need more like Catholic people calling themselves Catholic workers and spreading the word and stuff like that on a certain level. So like, yeah, everyone do their little piece and spread, you know, the word of the revolution of the heart wherever you are. And let's be affirming the people who are doing that already because of their circumstances like mandated it for them.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I guess in my head, I can kind of hear like the argument against that of not that like we shouldn't be encouraging people to do things, but this concern of like diluting the movement or diluting some of the values of like, okay, if we're not doing it as a whole package, is it really, are we really the Catholic worker if we're not saying both this mutual aid and pacifism or both this mutual aid and this component of spirituality? And I do think there is sometimes like a little bit of tension or balance there of what aspects can you pull from it before it's something else entirely. And not that that's not necessarily a problem. I think it would be great if everybody were doing more things like personalism, even if they didn't have other components. But I can see how there could be a concern that it becomes something sort of watered down and less meaningful.
I definitely get that, but I also just want to be like I personally want to be affirming of people where they are too, and be like just more invitational, I think, than like berating people. And I'll tell people like what I think and if they're interested and how all these things fit together. But like, yeah, if all you can do is show up to like the protest at this point, like you're not ready to also spend all your time feeding people or something, it's like, great, you should show up to that protest or whatever. Or like if all you can do is be growing a good garden and sharing it with your neighbors or whatever, but like I just want to affirm people where they are. And also like when we look at different Catholic workers, every Catholic worker is missing one piece or another, it feels like. You know, over here they don't do any of the agronomic university stuff. Over there they don't protest enough according to XYZ. Over here they don't pray enough. Like, once you start getting into all of those games, like no one community does every single thing. And where's the cutoff, and who decides what the cutoff is? Like,
I don't
this
know.
gets tricky.
We're going to get these emails being like, we're it. We're the one. We got it down. Everybody should come visit our community. But no, I agree. We all have to start somewhere, and it's always a progression of the clarification of thought and I suppose the clarification of actions. If we didn't have an on-ramp at some point, then none of us would be here.
And I think different folks are brought in from different pieces of that, I think, is so, like both sides of that, like both praxis and theory, if we want to call it that. Like, on this podcast, we've heard from folks who are like Julie was like, I'd never heard of the Catholic Worker. They showed up at Occupy and were feeding people, and they said, hey, do you want to come live with us and feed people and protest just like we used to do at Occupy? And she's like, cool. But then you know, and then we get all kinds of people who are like, I had to read Dorothy Day in my class or whatever, and I was drawn to like her vision, and that's how I, you know. So yeah, there's plenty of ways to bring people in. And like I was saying, I just want to be, I think we'll be better being invitational, and affirming people if we're trying to do that. The one thing we didn't talk about that I also really love about Alex's setup, because when I visited the New York worker, I went out and served their meal with them. One aspect that wasn't really mentioned is that the space they use is kind of like a small like banquet party space, like storefront. So it's kind of fun. There's like a disco ball hanging up in there, and like a nice little place where you could like take photos if you were having your birthday party or something like that. And she had been telling me that the way they got it is they got a deal, because people don't want to have parties on Monday evenings. So this venue was like, yeah, we'll give you a good deal. But it reminds me of there's a number of like parables in the Bible where it's like the kingdom is like a banquet or a party kind of thing. And here's Alex actually ha in a like little banquet hall hosting the Catholic workers. And I think that's another really beautiful thing about her project too.
How fun. Well, huge thanks to Alex for joining us and being willing to share the things that are going on in Elizabeth, New Jersey. We will link in the notes ways to get in contact with her if anyone is interested in getting in contact with her, either to help volunteer or help contribute over to her mission. So that wraps up another episode of Coffee with Catholic Workers. If you'd like to reach out to us with comments, suggestions, clarifications of thought, you can email us at coffeewithcatholicworkers@gmail.com. And we want to say thanks to Chris, who helps with our audio editing, David Hayes for our music, and Becky McIntyre for our graphic.
Thanks for joining us again for some clarification of thought. We hope today's conversation and discussion have been enlightening, and maybe even that you're encouraged to go out and help build a world where it's easier to be good.